I want us to look in 2 Thessalonians. You'll stand, please, when we read this together. 1, 2 Thessalonians are the second coming epistles or letters. If you want to know about the second coming, you learn it out of the 1 and 2 Thessalonians. It's not the only books you learn it out of. But they're the second coming books, if you will. And we're in the second chapter of the second epistle. And here's what the Lord said. Now we beseech you, brethren, by the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ and by our gathering together unto him, that you be not soon shaken in mind. Not soon shaken in mind. Get that? Not soon shaken in mind. Or be troubled. Seems like a lot of folks are troubled already and shaken in mind. Neither by the Spirit, nor by word, nor by letter, as from us, as that the day of Christ is at hand. We study in the Word of God, there's the day of the Lord, there's the day of Christ. The day of Christ is a time of tribulation. That's when He deals with the earth. We're not in tribulation, but we're close. The Bible said in verse number 3, this is very important, let no man deceive you by any means, for that day shall not come. What day? Day of Christ. Except there come a falling away first, and that man of sin, which is the Antichrist, be revealed, the son of perdition. Now, some folks have taken this verse and said that there has to be a falling away and the man of sin revealed before the rapture of the church. But that's not what it said here. They say that falling away is a catching out. I've heard that preached many times. And somewhere down the course of time, I had to make a choice. Am I going to follow him with what they say? Or am I going to take it what it is? And that's not what he's speaking of here, because I'll prove it to you. Verse 4 said, who opposeth and exalteth himself above all that is called God, or that is worshipped, so that he as God sitteth in the temple of God, showing himself that he is God. And that's talking about the Antichrist. Verse 5 said, remember ye not that when I was yet with you, I told you these things? He asked him a question. And now we know what withholdeth, that he might be revealed in his time. When I see he, I believe that the Antichrist will be a masculine gender. Amen. You say, how come? He's an Antichrist. Jesus came in the masculine gender. Yeah. Anti means opposite and against Christ. Yeah. Now, I'm not pulling something, no punches here. Verse 7 said, for the mystery of iniquity doth already work. Only he, now let's talk about the Holy Spirit, who now letteth, will let until he be taken out of the way. In other words, the devil can't do nothing or anything else can do anything until the Holy Spirit's called out. And the Holy Spirit will be called out with the rapture of the church. Now keep this in mind. I'm giving you some thoughts. If you lose these thoughts, you're not going to get the rest of the message. He said, and then, when he who now letteth will let until he be taken out of the way, Spirit of God taken out, and then shall that wicked be revealed. So the Antichrist will not be revealed until after the rapture of the church. Did you see that? I didn't write it. It's as plain as a nose on your foot. Since I said that the other day, I'm going to keep saying it. I want to remind you of my mistakes. And then shall that wicked be revealed, whom the Lord shall consume with the spirit of his mouth, and shall destroy with the brightness of his coming, even him whose coming is after the working of Satan with all power and signs and lying wonders. You think you've seen a lot of stuff, you just hang around. If you're not saved, you'll be here. and with all the deceivableness of unrighteousness in them that perish, because they received not the love of the truth that they might be saved. Now notice what happens to those who are left in the rapture, not taken out. If you're not saved, you won't go in the rapture of the church. The Bible said in verse number 11, and for this cause God shall send them strong delusion, that they shall believe a lie. A lot of people saying they will, when the rapture takes place, I'll know, and then I'll get right. If you've heard the gospel, you won't. He said that they all might be damned who believed not the truth, but had pleasure in unrighteousness. You listen, if God today has spoken to you and you refused him and the rapture takes place, you're going to be left behind, and God will give you strong delusion on your mind, and you will never want to be saved. And God will deal with others who have not heard the gospel. And he's going to produce him some that'll preach it. Now, with that being said, you can be seated. And let's pray and ask God's leadership. Get your pencil and paper and we'll start. Father, I pray you'd help us this morning to stand in the gap, make up the hedge. Lord, we're living in a wicked, ungodly hour, an hour of deception, an hour of unbelief, a day, Lord, when people care not about the things of God anymore. And Lord, I realize I'm saying that, and some in this congregation are going to say, but I do. Lord, are we talking about in general, across the world? We're living in a time of disbelief. I pray your will might be done. Lord, I pray you'd speak to us today. May we go out with a clearer understanding of the scriptures than we ever have. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. I believe this morning, as I stand here with the word of God, I feel like the Israelites did when they're right at the Red Sea, standing still to see the salvation of the Lord. They can't go forward. Certainly can't go back. Can't turn to the right or the left because there's mountains on every side. And we're at the point in America to stand still and watch God move. Yeah. You didn't catch that? You ought to put that in your pipe and smoke it. I not only feel that way, but I feel like today a country of America is representative of the book of Esther. Yeah. Esther and Mordecai were the people of God. And they had a man by the name of Haman who despised Mordecai and Esther. And he made up decrees that he was going to build a hangman's noose and he was going to hang Mordecai. But Esther went in the presence of the king and pled for Mordecai. And the story, to be short to tell you that, on passage, is that Mordecai was not hanged on the gallows, but Haman, the hangman, became Haman, the hung man. He hung on his own gallows. They waited on God. I feel like we're about to the place where Naboth was. Naboth had a vineyard. Ahab, the wicked king of that time, wanted that vineyard. And he tried to buy it, and Naboth said, it's not for sale. I'm not for sale. And so Jezebel had him killed to give the vineyard to Ahab. And I feel like we're like Naboth. We're at the place of saying we're not going to give in. Yeah. We're not going to give up. We're not going to lose our freedoms. Right. Want to hold to it. Amen. Now some Christians are not thinking that, but that's where you ought to be. Right. I feel like we're like Daniel. We refuse to eat the king's meat nor drink his wine. Yeah. And we're not going to fall in with the crowd. We're going to be separate. Thus saith the Lord. Yeah. I've watched a few things. Somebody asked me this the other day. They said, do you believe we're in the tribulation? I said, no, we're not in the tribulation yet. We're certainly headed there. And they said, well, I've been looking at this stuff and I'm afraid that we're going to start, they're going to start issuing the mark of the beast. And I said, not while the saints of God are here. The saints of God are going out. I'm never worried about having to take a mark. The Bible said there's going to come a time when everybody would have to take a mark. But I want to tell you, we are in the prelude of it.
Amen.
Now you listen to me, and I'm taking my time. I want this to soak in. Amen. Heavy rain. You know what heavy rain does? Washes out gullies and erodes things. But it's that little old soft rain sinks down in. And I pray God give us some little light showers this morning of blessings from heaven.
Yeah, yeah.
You hear me?
Yeah.
Before anybody can ever accept the mark of the beast, and suppose they come out tomorrow and said, we're going to put a mark in your forehead and we're going to put a mark in your hand, and you can't buy nor sell unless you've got that mark. Most folks in the country right now around the world would reject it, would oppose it, would fight against it. Most of them would. And I'm prove that to you. Some time ago, a few years ago, they come out with, they got the little chips. Matter of fact, they don't put them in people now, they're putting them in animals. Amen. So people are getting a little bit adjusted to marks and chips and things of that nature. I don't know whether the mark of the beast to be a chip or a mark. Actually, number 666 is what it says. And I've always thought if the Bible's literal, just take it that way. I don't know. It really don't bother me because I'm not going to be here. And why waste my time on something that's not going to happen then? But I can tell you this, if you get left behind, you will have to face it. I want you to know a little bit about it. So what's happened, we're thinking about this, they come out with the chips. It went over the news. They life. And some said, we wouldn't have that. I wouldn't have a chip. And folks are fighting that. Some of y'all are. Amen. And rightly so. Well, then God shows us up with a little pandemic. Amen. Give us a little pandemic. Gets the attention of the whole world. We've never had that before, and I preached this here lately. But I've got to go back over it to get to where I'm going to get. I ain't going to get done. I know that. It's just going to take me so long for the foundation of this message. I want to talk about a falling away. What that really means. I got a new light on the falling away from the scriptures, and I pray that God will show it to us. Well, they come out with a pandemic. They didn't, but it happened. God allowed it. We got a pandemic, and we went a pretty good while, and all of a sudden, they started putting up signs. I went down to, what is that place? Trina, you go to them places all the time. No, huh?
Goodwill.
I went down to Goodwill. I was looking for something. I'm always looking for junk. What makes him want to help me? Amen. I was looking for junk and I went up there, looked at the door and it says mask mandatory. Didn't say it exactly like that, but I had to go back to the truck and get my mask and I come up and put it on. And they said you can't come in without a mask. Well, they've relieved that a little bit. And now it's fixing to happen again. And Mr. Biden said he gets in, he's going to make sure it's mandatory. If you stop and think about it, that's a little bit more headed in the direction of the mark of the beast down the road. You said, you mean a mask is a mark? I didn't say the mask is a mark of the beast. It may be the good thing to do. I don't want that stuff again. Do you? And if that's what it takes, I guess that's what it takes. But I'm telling you, that is another little sign. 20 years ago, you had a hard time trying to get anybody to wear one.
Right, yeah.
It's breaking us down little by little.
That's
Understand that the president has just made a statement that a vaccine is going to be out just in a few days for this virus. And the first ones, you know who's going to have to take it? Old people. The most vulnerable people. And by springtime, everybody can have it. And Mr. Biden said he's going to make it mandatory. In other words, if you don't take a shot, you're not going to come in this store. You see where we're headed? Those things are leading up. And that's why I get excited, because the Lord is just about to come. Amen. I'm not in here to shake you, scare you, anything. If I didn't scare you and you ain't right with God and you run down the altar and get saved, I'll say glory to God, hallelujah, and I'll eat lunch with you. Yeah. Amen. But facts are facts. I'm trying to tell you that we're getting into that place. And it won't, when the rapture takes place and the tribulation sets in and that Antichrist rises up and he says, you're going to have to take a mark. People's already been subjected to it. They know a little bit about that and they'll be in line. Well, I know some right now. I've heard them say, I ain't taking that shot. Another said, I ain't taking that shot. Another said, I ain't taking that shot. How many has heard people say that? Okay, I'm not taking that shot. And you may be one of them. And that's your business. I'm not going to tell you have to. But I'm trying to tell you that the land is being conditioned for these things. When the rapture takes place, the saints of God are going out. And I believe the church is going to be called out before any part of the tribulation. I didn't say that we might not be persecuted. I didn't say that we might go through. See, the Bible said in Matthew 24, this is the beginning of sorrows. And I believe we're in the beginning of sorrows. And I believe there's some things we're going to have to face before we get out of here. But no time of the day of Christ here, of the tribulation, is going to happen to a church. A church is going to be called out. But the Bible said that couldn't happen. The man of sin won't be revealed until first there come a falling away. Now down through the years I preached that the church is falling away. And I realize this today, the church is less powerful than it's ever been. The church is less spiritual than it's ever been. The church is weaker than it's ever had a time. I realize today that there's not as much concern for the church in the people's hearts today as there once was for the lost. I realize that our dedication lines have been hewn down. I realize today that our worldly fences have been broken. And we're involving in the world more than we've ever involved in the world. You look in the world, find the church. Look in the church, you find the world. And there's not much difference in the church and the world on a lot of principles. But now once you take a piece of paper, and if you ain't got no paper to write on, you just have to put this in. You'll have to borrow somebody's notes and hope you can read them. Three columns. Equally divide that piece of paper in three columns. You ready? In one column, I want you to put unbelief in the first column. Write the word unbelief. And right under it, I want you to put the word modernism. Then I want you to go to the second column. And I want you to put wheat and tares. And under wheat and tares, and if I'm going too fast, just kind of wave, I'll slow down. Right under wheat and tares, put sheep and goats. And right under sheep and goats, put evangelicalism. You know what I'm talking about. It's the evangelical crowd that's evangelical crowd. That's it. There it is. I got it. Put evangelicalism. That's the word I was looking for a while ago. Put it down there. You know what it is. Some of these words are hard to say. For me, anyhow. Got a big body, a little mind, and a big heart. And sometimes my big heart tells my mind, but my little old mouth can't tell what I'm supposed to say. You just have to overlook me. In the third column, put down the word belief. Or believe. Whichever one you want to put. And under that, put fundamentalism. Now what I'm going to tell you is that there's three groups of religious system in this world. You got the fundamentalist. Not fundamentally. Fundamentalist. That's where I classify myself. And that's where you should classify yourself. And if you don't fit in that, you need to do something about that today. You got fundamentalism. In the second crowd, in this evangelical crowd, that's another group. The fundamentalists are supposed to be all saved, but they do have some lost people in them. They're camouflaged. Not everybody in fundamentalism is saved. But they're the ones that's been blood bought and blood washed, basically. And the ones that ain't are worldly. Yeah. And he actually would fit in the second category, but they don't want to base themselves there. The second category is made up of a mixed crowd. Lost people and saved people. They are what we call the Protestants. People die and they say, "What religion were you?" "I'm Protestant." "I'm not a Protestant." You know what a Protestant is? A Protestant is somebody that come out of the Roman Catholic Church because they protested what the Catholics believe. Amen. You know what's the fundamentalist crowd? It's basically the Baptists and those who believe like the Baptists. Yep. And the Baptists never got its start from Catholics. Never got its start from another religion. It got its start from Jesus Christ, the apostles, and the teachings of the Word of God. I hope I ain't confusing you, but am I going too fast? You with me so far? So now we go over. We find that this second crowd is a mixed crowd. They lost and saved. Now go over to the left crowd, the one we call unbelief, and under that we have modernism. That's where the Catholic sets in. Roman Catholicism. That's made up of lost people. Lost people. People that do not know the Lord Jesus Christ. Now let's go a little bit further. This last crowd that I just mentioned, the lost crowd, the unbelievers. You put all three of these in one basket the way the world is, but there's a difference between all three of them. I got news for you. I'll never join over with the Catholics. I'll never join over with the evangelical crowd. Now when the politicians talk about the evangelicals, they're talking about the middle crowd, the mixed. They're not talking about the fundamentalists. When they talk about the fundamentalists, they call us deplorables. Crackpots. Bible thumpers, crazy fanatics, heretics. They call us cultists, legalists. They call us everything. That's what the religious crowd says about us. That's why we're having a problem right now. They're trying to brush us off to the side, but there's more of us than they thought they were. You understand where we're coming from? I'm looking at this in light of the world system. The Bible teaches that there will be a one world religion. Yeah. There will be a one world church. There will be a one world money. There will be a one world government. Now that's hard for your little brain to comprehend. But I'm going to try to show you this morning how that's going to be accomplished. Y'all want to go home now? Amen. I hadn't slept a whole lot in the last two or three nights because of this message. And so I'm going to get on you and let you be up tonight where I can sleep. Is everything fitting all right? You understand where it's at now? You got the columns? All right, let's go back to the fundamentalist. They are the Baptists mainly and others. It could be other denominations. I'm not one that preaches denomination. I believe there's some Baptists going to go to hell. I believe there's some Presbyterians going to go to hell. I believe there's some Methodists going to go to hell. I believe there's some Methodists that's going to go to heaven. I believe there's some Presbyterians that's going to go to heaven. And there's a possibility, it's hard for my little mind to comprehend, but it's a possibility that there might be somebody in the Roman Catholicism somewhere that's steeped in there, but they heard the gospel somehow from somebody besides Catholics, and they might have got birthed in the family of God, and they're going to go to heaven too, right? Amen. So I'm not a denominationalist. The reason I'm a Baptist is because I believe it's the closest thing to the Scriptures.
Amen.
Wasn't, I'd find something else. And I don't agree with the Baptists on everything. Baptists lie, Baptists cuss, Baptists will beat you. So are the other denominations. But notice out of that we find that the basic thing of the fundamentalists is that they're saved and obedient. They're saved by the grace of God and they're obedient to the Scriptures. That's the reason you'll never find a fundamentalist will ever join over to the ecumenicalists, go over to the ecumenicalists and go over to Roman Catholicism. There's an ironclad barrier between them. Some in the Baptist will jump ship, jump the fence, and get into this other because of personalities they follow. But a real born-again child of God will never jump over and start believing in abortion and homosexuality. If some of you in here got little question marks about whether that's right or wrong, you're just almost a ship jumper or a fence jumper. But if you follow the Word of God this morning, you have to say that is wrong.
Amen.
And not just them two things, just a lot of us. Are we having fun?
No.
All right, let's go a little more. And in this Baptist or this fundamentalist group, there's something else going on. Their singing is different. The Bible teaches us to have spiritual songs and hymns. And that's what we sing. And that's why us old Baptists say we're not going to have the little scriptures on the wall or the songs on the wall. We're not going to watch the bouncing ball. We're not turning the lights down low and getting a band in and start playing drums and a dance into the music. That's why we're traditional. And that's why we're not contemporary. That's why we don't like Christian contemporary music,
right,
Christian rock music. That's why we get upset when the radio ain't playing good southern gospel music.
Right.
I hope I don't mess your lunch up, but I'm going to tell you some things you're not going to like before I get through. And Lord done give me all this, so I can preach it and have comfort.
Yeah.
Don't have to tremble. My voice won't have to quiver. I'll tell you straight. Let's go to the second crowd for a moment. As we look in the second crowd, we find that they're Protestant. They're a mixed bag. They lost and saved. Some of them's saved and some of them's lost. I just read some news this week about where somebody had skipped and or jumped ship out of this crowd and went to Roman Catholicism. Can you imagine that? Amen. Their music is different than our music. They listen to people like Casting Crowns. Anybody ever heard of that group? Now come on, I want to know about you. All right. Casting Crowns. Mercy Me. And Crowder and all that grass. And there's some more. Just go home and look this up. If you're sold on that kind of music, I'd watch myself and see where I'm labeled at. I've already jumped fence somewhere.
Yep. Amen.
And now let's go to the other crowd. And they'll have music different too. Anybody ever heard of Hillsong? Hillsong's that crowd. They're unbelievers. They're lost. Elevation. Anybody heard of Elevation? I am disturbed that some of you even heard of them. I never heard of them until I got to studying this stuff. Lauren Daigle. You know what they've done? They asked Lauren Daigle, what do you think about homosexuality? She said, well, I'm not really sure. She said, I've got some friends. Listen, I heard this. I watched her say it. I have some friends that are homosexuals. And I don't really know where it's right or wrong. They asked Hillsong, what do you think about homosexuality? Oh, it's all right. That crowd grabs all that. All right, let's go back a minute. Let's go back to column the on the right. Column number 3, we'll call it. They have spiritual songs and traditional hymns. And the multitude of them is unknown. You couldn't do it. And they say we can't have fellowship with the other groups. Let's look at their preachers for a minute. Their preachers are people like, of course these are gone by, but we got good men like this today. Harold Seitler. Men like Oliver Green, Sammy Allen, Billy Sunday. Men like that who have blazed a trail. And we've got good men like that today. They're following in their footsteps.
Amen.
They're preaching strong, preaching hard, and getting with it and staying with it.
Amen.
You don't have to wonder what side they're on.
Right.
They don't compromise. They don't back up. They don't cow down.
Yeah.
Let's look at the middle crowd's preachers. You know who you'll find? And you're going to like this, and I know you won't like it. The Billy Grahams and the Franklin Grahams. When I was a young preacher, we took a church down to Atlanta, Georgia, to hear Billy Graham. Billy Graham started off as a fireball. Billy Graham started off as very good. I got a book on faith that's a tremendous book that he wrote. But in his later years, he started clinging to Roman Catholicism leaders. Hey, amen me, somebody.
Amen.
He started running with them. He got in the middle of, matter of fact, he sent me a so-called, what they call a Bible, Good News for Modern Man. And it come from the Billy Graham Evangelistic Association. I pitched it in the trash. And I put him to the right and the left. I have nothing since that day to do with Billy Graham.
That's right.
Well, amen. I got one here. You helped me that time. Some of y'all will chew me up while you're eating today. Franklin Graham come along. He's walking in the footsteps of his daddy. Listen, he's with the going crowd. He's in the evangelistic part. He worries and works on feeding and giving gifts and those sort of. He's always, and people are looking for him. Even our presidents like them kind of preachers to get advice from. And you can say what you want to, but you can put Brother Jeffries in the same crowd. He's a good one. I like him. I like Franklin Graham. But I don't back them because they're in the wrong crowd. They're compromisers. You put the pressure on them, put the fire under them, and they're gone. I told you you might not like it. People like, anybody ever heard of Greg Locke? Yeah. Locke, huh? Yeah. Put him in that crowd. Put him in there with it. Amen. Put the Southern Baptists in there with it. Amen. The first two. Now listen to me. You said, I don't like what you say. I don't really care. Amen. God give me this.
That's right.
When I first started pastoring, or first started preaching, matter of fact, I got saved in the Southern Baptist Church. I didn't say that you couldn't get saved there. You can get salvation in some of these. I'm just saying it's the wrong crowd to run with.
Yeah, that's right.
Throw you watching away. I'm going to finish this. Part enough to where you can understand where we are. And here I'm going to talk about falling away. All right? We'll study just a little bit more on that. When I was a young boy, got saved in Southern Baptist Church, the first church I pastored, it was in the middle. They didn't know whether the Southern Baptists were independent. And it didn't take me long to get, when after I got there, to find out they are Southern Baptists to the core.
Yeah.
Because it's interesting in sending in the number every year. They elected preachers every year on a yearly basis, and that's the first church I went to. And I told them, I said, I'll take it, but it's going to be we're not going to elect preachers, but they did anyhow. Just so happened, they elected me the second time. I didn't stay there long. I left. And I went to the second church, and it was an independent church, 100% independent. I left that church and went to South Carolina. And that church was a Southern Baptist. They told me we have nothing to do with the Southern Baptist Association. But when I got there, they lied to me. You said, what'd you do? I pastored it. Amen. And I did not give up the Southern Baptist. They gave me up.
Amen.
They throwed me out. Hallelujah. And I hadn't pastored one since and will not. I was young, didn't know all about that. But you're not going to get me in one of them now. Because I had to go in. I've been in independent churches. I preached myself out in 6 months. I'm not going to a Southern Baptist church that I know won't last 3 months. So I've been in an independent church ever since then. The reason I'm not Southern Baptist, I'll tell you why. You said, what you got against this? Number one, Southern Baptists will ordain women for preachers and ordain women for deacons.
Amen.
And you can't find that in the Word of God.
Right.
Number two, the Southern Baptists will they'll accept any other version that they want, and they don't claim the King James Bible is the number one.
Amen.
And then, they drink and carry on in their campuses.
Yeah. Yeah.
Now they've got a lot, the list is longer. So that's back years ago when I come out of it.
Yeah.
So we have that. So we find those preachers. And you can name a bunch more. And if you want some more, I can give you some. Let's go to the next crowd that are associated with the Catholics. In that you'll find what they call the prosperity gospel. Now most of you politicians will fall in this category right here. And the news media, I'll show you where they are. They're in both of those crowds, the second one and the third one. Not the first one. They are not over in fundamentalism. That's why when they're interviewing somebody and somebody says, "Thank God I got washed in the blood of Jesus Christ," they done went to another subject. They clip them off. That's why they cut all that out. That's why you don't hear good things about the things of God. News media pushes all that out. They'll have people in their preachers or people like Joel Osteen, smiley face. They'll have people like T.D. Jakes, Dollar, Kenneth Copeland. And in this crowd, they're unbelievers. Most of them will not believe in the virgin birth of Jesus Christ. They will not believe in salvation by grace through faith in the shed blood of Christ. They will not believe in the deity of the Lord Jesus Christ. They're total unbelievers. And they're backed up by the Pope. Amen. This is the crowd that the Clintons were part of. This is the crowd that the Bushes were a part of. This is the crowd that the Obamas were a part of. You understand where I'm coming from? The politicians. That's why they look down at you and me as degenerates, but they call it, what is it? Deplorables. They say we're nobodies. You with me? Now, let's talk about the falling away. In the first column, we got modernism. That's what they do. Humanism and modernism is taking the effect to the country today. Everybody's listening to modernism. Modernism, humanism, humanism. The second crowd over here, they're the wheat and the tares, the sheep and the goats, and they're just growing together and living together. But there's going to come a time when God is going to separate the wheat from the tares, and He's going to separate the goats from the sheep.
Amen.
And how are they going to do that? To be able to have a one world system, we've got to get all three of these groups together or do something. Well, let's just kind of put it like this right here. One thing God is going to do pretty quick. He's going to call out the saints. That's going to take care of category one. There's no more Holy Spirit. No refraining source. No, nothing to restrain. And there's going to be a chaotic mess. And then all that's left in that second column, go up there and make a mark through the wheat. Scratch out wheat. And scratch out sheep. And now all you're going to have is tares and goats in that second crowd. Now you listen to me, and when you go home, check this out. And they're going to do it, number one, through the music, and they're already doing it. Hillsong Elevation and Lauren Daigle and all the others like them are joining up with Casting Crowns, Mercy Me, and having world tours now. And the Pope is agreeing with that. I read some articles on the Pope where that he said that was good, and he talked about them. All them are coming together. So that middle crowd is going to join over, not the last crowd, not the unbelievers are not going to join to the evangelicals. The evangelicals are going to join to the unbelievers. Now you got a church is called out. No restraining force. Now you got a one world church system. And that's why the whore in the book of Revelation is going to rise. That's how come she's going to rise back up again. That's the part of the Roman Empire that has not been destroyed. Of the five empires that the world's had. Oh, Lord, I don't want to open this can here and have to stay here for another hour. You say, I don't want you to either. But there's been the world empires. And the Roman Empire has not been destroyed. It's just been suppressed. But she will rise again.
Now, some of y'all are going to go home and question marks like this, and you're going to walk out dizzy because you don't know what in the world's going on. That preacher said things I never heard of in my life. And I'm glad. I'm glad you heard something you ain't never heard. Make you think, won't it? Check me out. Amen. And I look at these things, and this is what's going to happen. They're going to unite one of these days. And by the way, I'll throw this in. You know what the word Catholic means? It means universal or all-embracing. It's meant that for all these years. And the Pope's going to put his arms around the whole religious system. You said, not with me. No, we're going out of here. Trumpet's going to sound. But if you get left behind, you're going to be part of it. You better make sure you're saved today. Because if you're not saved today, this could start happening by the end of the day or before I get through preaching. The rapture could happen anytime. And you get left. If it happens today, you'll remember that, won't you? It'll be too late for you. God give you a strong delusion. You believe a lie and be damned. The Bible said in the latter times, some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits. And that's what's happening across our land today. And secondly, doctrines of devils. You know what happens after? You know what happens after they take over with the singing? They start working through the preachers. And all these is in the middle crowd that are not saved. Some of them are. I didn't tell you that middle crowd, all of them was lost. I said there's a mixed crowd. They're either going to go out in the rapture, if they're saved, or they're going to be left behind and they're going to fall in with doctrine. When you're swayed by music, the second thing happens is you're swayed by their doctrines. Whatever you like to hear music-wise, you'll start picking up their doctrines.
Amen.
Amen. You start listening to honky-tonk all day long, and you'll be a honky-tonking. And you won't be talking about Christ. And if you jump over the other ship, you know what's going to happen? They're going to sing these songs. Oh, the Lord is coming back one day. The Lord is coming back one day. The Lord is coming back one day. The Lord is coming. And they say it over and over and over. And they go to swinging at the microphones, and they eat them. You know, they stick them down their throat just about it. I mean, dance around a little bit. You with me? I better quit. Some of you look like you done had too much already. But I don't believe you'll argue with what I have to say. You may argue with it, but you know good and well down deep on the inside it's right. That's how we're going to get a one world system. Thank God I'm not going to be here. I'm leaving. I'm listening for a shout and the voice of the archangel and the trump of God. Hallelujah. Heads bowed. Eyes closed.